I was coming to church Wednesday to do a lot of research. You say we're going to cut the worship short. No, because there's some things that I need to share from the heart of a pastor. I was coming to church Wednesday and doing a research on some things that are lining out for the year, asking God what He wants to do, what He wants to say to the people. And as I was coming down Cirque, the Lord said this to me: what if this would be the last day of your life here on earth? What if this was to be the last day, whether of the church on earth or you as an individual here on earth? Something to think about when the Holy Spirit says that to you. Now, I know we have little children here, and I'm going to dismiss them because we're going to show there's some things we're going to get into, and the little children can go back to children's church. Is that okay? Is that good? Okay, where's the little children? We're going to dismiss the little children. It is critical that you get these things on tape, DVD, and take them home. I know that some of you have missed certain things in order to keep up with what God is doing here, not what Penny Baker is doing. And the Lord went on to say, what would you give in exchange for your soul? And as a little girl, I remember when we used to sing that song. And I thought, Lord, I haven't sang that song in a long, long time. How many of you know that you can come to church and do all the right things and say all the right things and still miss it? Amen. I'm not going to Bible thump today. I'm not going to beat you over the head with the Word of God, but I am going to give you some things to think about, because I can't go any further in what God wants to do in this place until I obey and do just exactly what He wants me to do and say just exactly what He wants me to say. And so I came to the church and I looked up the song. I want you to listen to the words. I'm not going to do all of them. But even as a little girl, these songs were put into us as we were little, as my mom and dad stood and sang on the platform. Now, this is supposed to be the bluegrass, but I don't have bluegrass here. So I stepped to the piano and did the best that I could. But I want you to hear this. Make sure this is recorded, Brian. Amen.
Risking your soul.
think about it. Think about it. Yes, Jesus. Will mercy is come. To think about, isn't it? So he said to me, what if this was the last day you or we or any of us would be on this earth? Whether Jesus coming back to get us or suddenly our life ending today. Father, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. For Father, there's such an urgency in the time that we're living as prophecies are going out all over the world and warning that Jesus is coming. It's even more intense today than it was then. And people will still say, where's the promise of his coming? Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes and let us realize that just because we say, Lord, Lord, does not mean that we're going to enter heaven. So much to think about, Father, as we allow you to question us and examine our hearts and our motives and our actions and our deeds. So, the Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine anointing that I say those things that you have put into my spirit this last week. In the name of Jesus. So what if it was the last day? What then? What if we went to bed tonight and awakened in the morning and suddenly your children has disappeared and your spouse is gone and they're nowhere to be found? What then? What if all of a sudden you're driving down the freeway and the cars go out of control and no one in them? What then? Or you're in an airplane and you're 30,000 feet in the air, if not more, and the pilot is gone and there's no one at the controls. What then? What if all of a sudden your life is taken and you're not ready to meet eternity and your God? What then? Are you ready to meet your God? Are you ready to meet eternity? Because eternity is forever. And I know this is going to go out on the airwaves as we put it on the YouTube. So, you know, if you're here and you've never sinned or made a mistake, then this doesn't apply to you. But once you've crossed over to the other side, there's no more turning back. There's no second chance. If you're not born again, you're in a mess. If you're in a mess because you're already dead and judged and on your way to hell. People say, well, you know, I really don't like ministers that preach about hell. Well, honey, hang on, because it's there. John 3:3 in Amplified said, unless a person is born again, that means a new form from above, he cannot see. I said, he can't. Everybody say, he cannot see. He cannot know, he cannot be acquainted with or even experience the kingdom of God. Let's go back to John. Let's look at the first and second verse in Amplified. And there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of Jews. Nicodemus was a Jewish rabbi and a member of the Sanhedrin and was absolutely one of three of the most richest men in Jerusalem. And one day Nicodemus heard Jesus preaching that you must be born again. And he said to Jesus, you know, we know that thou art a teacher from God. We know. Everybody say, we know. That says a whole lot. I don't have time to go into that. For no one can do these signs, these wonderful works and miracles unless God is with him. So evidently the rulers had come to this conclusion, but the majority were in rebellion, to be honest and sincere. Nicodemus said to Jesus, you know, I don't know if you understand this or not, Jesus, but I'm old and my mother has been dead for years, and I cannot go back into her womb and be born. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man be born of water and eat of the Spirit, they cannot ever enter the kingdom of God. Because what is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if people are not born again, if you are not born again, when you leave this life, or people leave this life, then you're going out into eternity without Christ. Because everything he said in his word is going to come to pass. You can erase it. You can escape. You can try to escape it. You can say it doesn't exist. But what God has written is in stone. And what he says is coming to pass is coming to pass, whether you agree with it or not. Sin is sin. There's no half sin. There's no white sin. Sin is sin. And it does not matter what religion you belong to, you must be born again. It doesn't matter. The Bible says in James 4:14, our life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. In other words, it's like a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears in the air. That says a whole lot, doesn't it? So you need to realize you have no guarantee for tomorrow. None of us do. You could walk out of this building tonight or today, be driving down the car, and it's over. I've talked to a few people the last couple of weeks and said, my daughter who works for Lowe's or Office Depot or Home Depot, and she said, this friend of ours was on the ladder, doing great. And he's up only 3 feet. Good health, and all of a sudden, keeled over and he's gone. You have no guarantee. So when your life is over, you will either go to two places. Either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's no third place. There's no purgatory. And yet the gospel has been preached and preached and still people refuse to follow Jesus. When this Bible was printed, when this Bible was put in effect, when Jesus said he was not talking to the sinner, he's not talking to the world, he's talking to the church. This is a roadmap. And everything in this roadmap applies to us. Because see, a sinner's already dead. They have to be born again. And they're not going to understand the things of the Bible because it's foolish to them. Until you become born again, and then that's another situation. And I've met more Christians who are no longer in church because they got hurt, or some pastor fell, or you can put anything in there you want to. And Satan has so deceived them into believing his lies and his schemes as he walks around devouring his prey, and that's what he's doing to Christians. He's not after the sinner. He already has them. But he's after you. He's after your walk. He's after your experience in Jesus. He wants to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And he will do everything he can to keep you out of church, keep you out of the Word of God, keep you defeated, so you will miss what's getting ready to come in the first event. And many Christians have fallen right into his trap and will lose out in the end when Jesus comes back. And church, he's on his way, whether you believe it or not, whether you're ready for it or not, he's coming. And find that they are left behind to face whatever is coming up on the earth and did not make it in the first event. I usually tell people, but once you realize that you've missed it, talking to the Christians now, you have 3.5 years to get it together. Because the Holy Spirit is still here. But for those who have longed for and waited for and been faithful and obedient and looking for his return, we will be sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Amen to that. While chaos and lawlessness and every ungodly thing is going on down here, as the book of Revelation opens. And those who are left behind have to face what is coming up on the earth and that is taking place before their very eyes. I'm not that big of a gambler, are you? A minister made a statement not long ago that the unbelieving and God haters will be glad when we are gone. Well, and he made the statement, he said, listen, we will be glad when we're gone too. But those who are deeply in love with Jesus and served him faithfully, without griping and complaining and trying to find a position and trying to find a title, God's not interested in titles. He wants hearts. That's all he wants. It's not important about what's on your name or behind your name or before your name or over your name or under your name. It's not, that's not important. God is saying, I want that heart tuned into me. I want that heart to serve me because the only thing I'm looking at is the heart. Those who serve faithfully have escaped what is going on in the world during that time. Let me repeat. Because the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. We'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says, in the last days, many shall fall away. So many Christians who have fallen away, they think they're okay. Just because. And they've allowed the sin nature to take over. Don't sit here and look at me like I'm so holy because you're not. The only thing that's holy in you is Jesus. That's it. The only thing good in us is Jesus. Amen to that. Now look what it says in Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now you can translate it any way you want to. You can read into it anything you want to. You know, I'm just telling you what the Word says. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, and I don't have time to go into all these, jealousies, outburst of wrath with his rage. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are full of rage. Self-ambition, dissension, heresies, envy. Oh boy, we could go with that. Murder. Do you know that when you hate somebody, you're it's like murder? Drunkenness, revilers, and the like of which I tell you before. He's already said it before. Just as I have also told you in time past. Watch now. That those who practice such things. Everybody say practice. Will not. Say will not. inherit the kingdom of God no matter how many times you go to church, no matter how many times you give in the offering, no matter how many times you quote the scripture, no matter how many times you pray in tongues and your Honda Mashundai. If that heart is not ticking with God and you do not have that flesh under submission to the Holy Spirit and you're not obedient to God, you can prophesy, you can Shunda Mahandai all you want to, but God is looking at the heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Sister Penny, I'm born again and I love the Lord. And yeah, but are you in love with Him? Listen, if you are practicing any of these things in your life, you are lukewarm, period, over and out. You don't have to try to explain anything else. If God is after you, He's going to be after me, and He's after me. And if He's after me, then I'm going to get after you under the Holy Spirit. And then God's going to deal with you because I have a responsibility. And that's right, telling this truth and not soft soap sermons. I will not do that in order for people to be in my church. Amen? Because the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Amen to that. Says you're lukewarm. So I ask this question, why would we allow these things to operate in our life and stay there when we can do something about it? That would cause us to miss heaven. You mean to tell me, and I thought about this, you would allow the flesh to dominate your life in spite of missing the first event? You would allow bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness and anger to stay in your life and take the chance just because you profess to be a Christian? Huh? Matthew 7, 21 through 22. Put it up there, brother. Read it with me. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many? See, I'm not saying you're going to hell. What I am saying, if you miss the first event, you have 3.5 years on this earth to repent and get it right. But if you are not born again and you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will still have a chance. I'm saying this again. I want the television to hear what I'm saying. You will still have a chance after the church is gone. But it will be during the tribulation period, but the Holy Spirit will be left here. I will repeat what I said many, many, many times. If you are born again, but have grown lukewarm in your life with God, let me tell you what the Bible says about that condition you're in. First of all, you have left your first love. How many of you know when you first fall in love with Jesus? You're excited, everything, but something happens as we get out in the world and we're contaminated. And by our eye gate and our ear gate, and what we see and what we hear and what we get involved in. So Revelation 3:13, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That word spew means to vomit. He's not talking to the world, is he? He's talking to the church. He's not talking about someone who has never been born again. They're not lukewarm. They are not lukewarm. They're dead. Waiting for the return of eternity. How many of you know the sinner is still waiting for a return? They know something's about ready to happen. 2 Peter 2:4. For God did not even... Why? And when the Lord put this, he said, listen to me. Go to 2 Peter 2:4. For God did not even spare the angels that sinned. So why would he spare us that continue in sin? When we habitually sin. I say habitually. I'm not talking about making a mistake. And enjoy doing it and knowing it's wrong. He's talking to the church. Listen, out of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, we don't have time to go there. There were 5 that God said to repent. Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist comes on the scene and makes a cry, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4:17, Jesus comes on out of 40 days in the wilderness, putting the devil in his place, and begin to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That word is still going out. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is coming, whether you're ready or not. And the cry is still going out. And the word of the Lord's ringing out to prepare. Paul said that if you sin, I'd rather you not sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. He is saying there is still time to make it right. Amen to that? Still time to make it right. Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. 2 Peter 3:10. He will come as a thief in the night to those who are not watching for his coming. That's not true for the Christian that's watching. He's not going to come as a thief in the night to a Christian. Jesus said, either you are for me or you're against me. Either you're cold or hot. You cannot be both. I want to show you something this morning. That's why we kind of cut everything short just a little bit. Because I want to show you how real this thing is. Your pastor, I might not be the most profound preacher. I may not have all of the DDDs behind my name. I may not have gone to all the Bible schools that some have gone to. But I was on the school of hard knocks where I carried it with me. Been there, done that. I am not going to water down anything. I will not give you a soft soap sermon. I will not do that. I'd rather have you mad at me for telling the truth than you miss the coming of the Lord, because you need to look up. He's on his way. Brother Brian.
Hi. I just wanted to share with you all a short testimony. About a year ago, maybe a little more, my 8-year-old daughter had a vision. And what she saw was Jesus coming down in the clouds out of the sky. And there were people going up in shiny, she said, shiny, very, very, very shiny white robes to meet him in the sky.
Watch.
And the individuals who were not going up, because there were people that were left below on earth, looked confused. In her words, they looked weird, very weird. And they were asking why they were left behind. There's another part to this, and it takes an even stranger turn, and that is the fact that my half-sister, who I just recently gotten in touch with within the last couple weeks, I came to find out she's married and she has children, and I was telling her about this testimony, and she said, "You're not going to believe this, but my daughter had a vision pretty much exactly like that." So I just wanted to let you guys know that Jesus is coming soon. We need to be ready. Are you ready?
Getting prepared for the rapture. Prophetic messages are coming in from all over the world that the people of God must get prepared for the Lord's return. Through visions, prophecies, visitations, and signs. Jesus has given many warnings to the world that there was little time left. But few listened and got ready. Therefore, when the Lord does come, few will be ready. And most people, even most Christians, will be left behind. Some prophetic visions even showed entire congregations left behind, where not even one member was taken, except the children. Many Christians will be bewildered when they find themselves left behind. They won't believe that it has happened to them. Many churches are not getting their congregations ready for the rapture. The topics of the rapture, end times, and the tribulation were seldom covered in their sermons, and many of the church members knew very little about the subject. For this reason, there will be great anger against pastors and church leaders by the Christians who are left behind. They will be blamed for not getting their members ready. And in the churches, it was very fun and entertaining. And many Christians were celebrating while they should have been repenting. The preaching just did not lead them to sorrowful repentance. It is not easy to be raptured. Like Queen Esther's preparation, it took serious time and dedication to prepare her for the wedding. To be ready for Jesus, it takes complete surrender and obedience to Jesus Christ. Daily repentance and cleansing is needed to prepare oneself for seeing the Lord. You must diligently ask the Lord if there is anything in your life that needs to be changed. Don't just assume that you're ready, but pray and find out. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Picking up your cross means surrendering your life to God, and this is necessary. The rapture will separate those who knew the Lord in spirit and truth from those who knew the Lord just by tradition and form. The whole world is going to see who the pretenders are. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" After the trumpet call, it will be too late to repent. Many will try in vain, saying that they are sorry and pleading Jesus to take them. But it will be futile. Jesus has said over and over again, he can only take those who are ready and living holy into his kingdom. The time to repent is now, not later. Those not raptured will unfortunately go through the Great Tribulation. About the Great Tribulation, Jesus said, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." The Great Tribulation will be a time of persecution. As Jesus said, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." It will be a time of falling away. As Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. It will be a time of war and devastation, where nation will rise up against nation. It will be a time of scarcity and want. In the book of Revelations, it tells us that it will take an entire day's wages just to earn enough food for that one day. In the Great Tribulation, there will be a rapid breakdown in social order, and chaos will spread worldwide, because many evil spirits who were bound up will be released upon the earth. It will be every man for himself. The Great Tribulation should be avoided at all costs. So how do we get ready now? What should we do to prepare? Jesus is coming back for a beautiful, pure, and holy bride. As the book of Ephesians states, he is looking for a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Jesus is not coming back for a whore who is married to the world. In the book, Heaven is So Real by Chu Thomas, Jesus stated that only the pure and obedient will be taken. By being pure, it means keeping oneself free from addictions, lusts, and all kinds of worldly passions. And by being obedient, it means obeying what God's word tells us to do. As Jesus said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Those who want to be ready for Jesus must put Jesus first in everything in their life. Nothing else must have a higher priority than Jesus. And we must remember what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This verse from Jesus, found in Matthew chapter 5, is seldom mentioned in church. It reads, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, if you're not at least doing what they were doing in obeying God's commandments, you won't be ready. The Word of God makes it clear. It is hard to enter the kingdom of God. If you're sleeping around with your girlfriend or boyfriend, you won't be ready. If you're secretly watching pornography, you won't be ready. If you're worldly or lukewarm, you won't be ready. If you're holding hatred or unforgiveness in your heart, you won't be ready. If you're committing any form of idolatry, praying to statues, or praying to saints, you won't be ready. If you're desecrating the Lord's Day and not keeping His day holy, if you're doing your work or conducting business on His day, you won't be ready. and remember the parable of the foolish virgins. If your lamps are not full of oil and burning brightly, you won't be ready. If you're a Christian who has lost their salt, living like the rest of the world, you won't be ready. Another important issue is money. It costs money for charity and to get the gospel out. But many Christians are neglecting tithes and offerings. As a result, there are many people around the world that are never hearing the gospel because people and resources are not being sent out. And that is costing souls. Also, there are many people dying around the world because some Christians are not giving of their money. If you're stealing the Lord's tithes and offerings, you won't be ready. Let's look at the parable of the great banquet from Luke chapter 14. In this parable by Jesus, we see that there were three reasons that the people were not ready for the banquet. Let's read. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent out his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, "I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another one said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became very angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." So what were the three reasons people did not come? Reason number one, the field. In other words, my property. My stuff is more important than your banquet. Reason number two, my oxen. In other words, my job. I'm too busy with my career to care about your banquet. And reason number three, my wife. In other words, my relationships. My wife, family, and friends are more important than your banquet. And for these very reasons, many people will miss the great banquet of Jesus, the wedding of the Lamb. To be ready for the rapture, you must not fall spiritually asleep in the last moments. As Jesus said, "It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing his work when he returns." Stay focused on Jesus and don't get distracted in the last moments. There are thousands of distractions that can cause you not to be ready. And don't fall into temptation and compromise with sin in the last moments. As Jesus said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And remember Lot's wife, who was leaving Sodom. Lot's wife was almost free. She almost escaped. But in the last moments, she turned back to Sodom and died. Don't be like her. In the moments before the Lord's return, don't turn back to the world. Don't give up during the final lap of the race. Stay in prayer in the last moments. As Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 21, watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. And don't neglect your calling. As Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus is a God of great passion, and we must never neglect or ignore his passion. What is he so passionate about? Jesus desperately wants souls saved from hell. His heart breaks for every lost soul that perishes, and he has done everything he can to save people. But if we ignore this desire of his and don't bother to witness to the lost, then we are snubbing his passion. Each Christian should be doing their part to build the kingdom of God. The wedding supper of the Lamb will be the best celebration in heaven, but the worst time on earth. It is a party that no Christian should miss. Many people have tried to predict dates for the Lord's return, but these predictions haven't come true. Scripture makes it clear that no one knows the day or the hour. And many of today's prophets have asked the Lord the time of his return, but he has not given them a date. Jesus said he would come back like a thief in the night, and at an hour when people do not expect him. This verse from Revelation 16 states, "Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed." Currently, the Lord restrains much evil from ever happening on the earth. After Jesus takes away his bride, the Lord's hand of restraint will be removed. This verse from 2 Thessalonians explains how this will happen. It reads, "For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way." When the bride of Christ is gone and the Lord's hand of restraint is taken out of the way, the world will quickly plunge into darkness. The book of Revelations warns us about the rise of the Antichrist and the mark of the beast, 666. It will be much harder to follow God after the rapture, because during the tribulation, following God will cost people their lives.
Okay, really quickly. What'd you get out of this? Somebody, quickly, quickly, quickly. What'd you get out of this? What did you see? Let me correct some things. First of all, we are not the bride of Christ. We're the church. The bride is the New Jerusalem. And I can point that all out to you. We've taught about the book of Revelation with Dr. Hilton Sutton. And others are realizing that. Amen. And how many of you know the Holy Spirit's going to be here during the time after we're gone? The Holy Spirit will never leave here, okay? So I just want to clear that up. Sometimes people see things different than other people, and that's okay. The fact of it is, you have to get in the Word of God and find out what it says. I can take you to all the scriptures where we are not the bride, we are the church, amen? And it gives a description of the bride in Revelation chapter 21. I think that's where it's at. So anyway, and we can get into Thessalonians, but I don't have time for that this morning. But we will be exposing a lot of things over the period of time coming in to the Resurrection Sunday and getting more information in us. Amen. How many of you know I want to know the truth? I want to know the whole truth, all of it. Amen to that.